comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth, thank you for being here at Talk Radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. We're here because you have a right to know. Well, as I announced on Monday, we have been dealing with installation of some new software and configuring it to work with everything else we're doing. Without getting into a lot of detail there, it's kind of a balancing act. Anyway, we had some real tech issues on Tuesday. Last night, everything worked fine for the broadcast, except it just would not record the video of the broadcast. We got it all worked out tonight. Everything is fixed. I am a happy camper. I don't like it when things don't work. And it's especially frustrating, you know, when you're trying to deal with software, because, you know, other people will say, well, it's simple, it's easy, you do this, you do that. Everything is simple. Heart transplants are simple if you know what you're doing. That's the key. So anyway, we've got all the tech issues worked out. I said we have them all worked out. That's not quite true. We did kill one phone system. And I haven't figured that out yet, but everything related to the broadcast and doing the doing what we do here tonight is working, and I am, as I said, a happy camper. Let me remind you, if you are not receiving the K Files, that means you are not subscribed to the K Files. The K Files is our free weekly newsletter. And we would like for you to be getting it. It is truly free. There are no strings attached. It's not a bogus free thing. It's a real free thing. And so if you're not getting it, go over to my website, scroll down. Well, you don't even have to scroll down. Right in the middle of your screen, there's a big word that says K-Files. See that? Well, if you click that, guess what? Magic. You get to subscribe, all right? It asks you one question. It asks for your email address. It doesn't do any good for you to put someone else's email in there and think you're going to play a joke on them, because you see what happens is when you put your email address in there, it sends one email to you automatically. And it has a link in it that you have to use to activate your subscription. If you don't use that and activate your subscription, you don't get it. All right? And so it doesn't do any good to play games and, you know, think you're going to trick somebody into start getting email from. It doesn't work, all right, because they won't activate it, and when they don't, that's all they ever hear from us, all right? But you need to. If you subscribe, and you should subscribe because it's free and there's absolutely no genius in being a mushroom, which that's basically what you are. If you're not getting the K-Files, you're sitting in the dark and being fed a steady diet of manure. So get the K-Files, right? We'll be back right after this, so don't go away. Thank you. welcome back. I told you we had all the tech problems worked out, and then I gave you a little feedback. How'd you like that, huh? Anyway, we are back and pleased to have with us tonight as my guest someone who has been with us before. So this is a return engagement to the Kevin Smith Show audience. Patty Greer. Patty Greer is well known really throughout the world, and she is well known for a couple of reasons. She is well known to our audience primarily because she is a filmmaker and has made quite an impact with her films about crop circles. And you may know her in that capacity. She is also a concert harpist. She plays the harp. And so you may have seen her or heard her perform somewhere. But at any rate, whichever way you know her, join me in welcoming her back tonight. Patty, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you. It's a treat to be here.
Patty, you've got, I want to talk a little bit about this film about 2012, and then we'll talk about crop circles and then the message and its real life application that you have been living through. But this film you've got about 2012, tell us about that.
Well, it was an adventure in the crop circles. I went in 2008, and it was my third year in the crop circles, so I was friends with most of the people that frequented. And it was the first time I went with the intention of having my own camera, telling stories with a plan. The first two movies, I was the accidental filmmaker. It was completely a surprise that I even pulled them off. And then it was such a delight that I bought the camera, got serious with the gear, got trained a little bit, and went into the field. So I went into the crop circles and had conversations with, I think, some of the smartest people I've ever met in the world. They seem to congregate in this area that has more crop circles than anywhere else on the planet. So every conversation was really fascinating, but the buzzword happened to be 2012. So most of the movie is improvised, people just answering questions about their perceptions and predictions for 2012. But they're not just people. They are, Patricia Corey is one of my main characters, and she has written 10 books, profound speaker all over the world, and she carries the film in a lot of people's minds. And her, basically the ultimate punchline, I think, for Picori is, she says, so yeah, we're in martial law, but look at this day. Look at this glorious day. What are you going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
And so the premise is not to be living in fear or looking at the things that aren't working, but really to be living every day. And it's not a spiritual hoochie movie. I bring in Jeff Stray, who talks about the Mayan and Aztec
spiritual
calendars.
A spiritual hoochie movie?
Well, I mean, it's not all predictions and perceptions. We go very scientific.
Uh-huh.
We go into the solar flares, the sun. All the things that are happening scientifically are covered by a couple people. I have a gentleman talking about the stock market financial collapse. And this was done before the big financial collapse happened. He pretty much tells the story, and then it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie has a really good variety of people that I didn't know before, but they all meet in the crop circles and exchange information. So I think what started me making these movies was that I'm in this beehive of brilliant people. I've got a camera and I bring it home. And what has come out of these movies has been a lot of illumination for a lot of people. I sell all over the world. I screen every time I get invited. And I really did come in as an accidental filmmaker. It wasn't like I went to the crop circles to make movies.
We have on the on our television channel right now, we've got your picture up, and it's a picture of you out literally in a field. you have a camera on a tripod and it's up over your shoulder, and we can see you're dressed in black, and we can see you're wearing gloves, and I happen to know the story of those gloves. You care to share that with us?
I think we want to get into that story in a little while, because I want to begin this first bit really staying in the excitement of the truth of the crop circles, in my opinion.
Okay.
Now, I've been in, and then we'll go into the liaison of the things that aren't quite right on the planet, but again, what we're talking about is solutions here. We're not going to point fingers tonight or name names, might name a few, but we're going to talk about how to heal and how to come out on the other side of things that are really challenging a lot of people that probably don't have a clue. They're dealing with stuff that I just finished going through that's really hard. But okay. I went to the crop circles because you did say I was a harpist. I used to be a harpist, is the unfortunate thing. I played harp for 33 years. I played for spiritual masters that came into America, and I played in nightclubs with a screaming band. So I really enjoyed a long and lively career. And in 2004, I all of a sudden bought myself a small harp that I could carry by myself, which was great for gigging instead of this huge gold antique thing that I carried for 33 years. And within a year, something happened to my hands, which was that I, that's why I was in gloves in all the photos. And all these years, I have blamed what happened to my hands, which is that I have cuts covering my fingertips. My fingertips that pluck the harp strings have really bad cuts. And the skin would die, still does today, unfortunately, but I'm getting better. The skin dies, it turns brown, it breaks open, and I have dealt with this for 7 years. It has been the hardest physical thing I've ever had to deal with. And I guess we are going into that story, but I went to every kind of doctor. I couldn't get healed. Everybody said to me, there's something inside you that's coming out through your fingertips. And nobody could help me. And I knew that I had had mercury fillings put in my teeth about 6 or 8 months before the hands went down. So for years, every year for the last 7 years, I've gone and had blood tests for mercury poisoning. And every year, every blood test or allergy test for mercury poisoning, they said, nope, you're negative, go home and go back to sleep now. It's not mercury poisoning you're dealing with. So I've had 6 false negative tests. And as far as playing harp, I stopped playing 6.5 years ago. I sold my harps. I sold my keyboards. I sold all my gigging gear and my PA. And not only did I have to let my career go, but with my hands covered in cuts, going to the grocery store was no longer fun. Shopping, going out with friends, it was life-changing. And so I've gone now 6.5 years, and nobody could help me. I finally gave up on everything I was told, and I went and had, I went and did the research for poisoning from amalgam fillings, and I found that there are special dentists today that know how to remove them. Not any dentist, but there is a new organized organization, and I'll basically go through the history of them later in the show. But the reason I'm going into all this is because I was misled for all these years, and I was so desperate that it wasn't until 7 months ago I got the mercury taken out of my teeth, and when I found a conscious dentist, she turned me on to the correct blood test, which hardly anybody knows about in this country. And it's for inorganic mercury rather than mercury. And in this country, what is given to all people is a mercury test. So nobody gets to know if amalgam fillings, which have inorganic mercury, have anything to do with their system. We're all being given the wrong test, and that's what happened to me all these years. And that's why, in all the photos where I'm making these movies, I have gloves on, because it was during the time when I didn't know what I was dealing with, and my hands were really, really challenged. So I was so desperate, I couldn't get doctor help, any kind, healers. I mean, I went to acupuncture, everything, and fasting and cleansing and everything. And the punchline is that when I finally went to the right dentist and got it pulled out, she sent me to the correct testing facility, which there are very few in this country. I'm going to say the name. People grab a pen and paper. If anybody's curious, if they're sick, if they've got diseases, if they've got a mouthful of mercury, it doesn't matter how many times you've been tested. The only one that I know of that does the job is called Quicksilver Scientific. Quicksilver Scientific. They're in Colorado. And when I sent them my test, which was hair, fingernails, blood, and urine, I got the gripping news back that I'm in the top 5% of worst cases they have ever tested.
Wow. Now, I do want to go forward with that story. But I also, before we go any further, I want to tie this back to the crop circle with something that you and I, we talked about, and I'm going to, after we talk about it here, I'm going to give you an idea or a statement that I haven't made to you and see what you think about it.
Okay.
All right. Now, you talked about this crop circle where there's, it's in the shape of the face of an alien, and then there's a binary code kind of message there. Let's talk about that message.
Okay. Well, the reason I wanted to bring this up is because, in my opinion, I believe we have been given amazing messages through the crop circles for many, many years. The easiest, quickest one for all people to remember is 8 months or 10 months, within a year before the BP ocean disaster, was the first summer we ever had numerous birds and numerous fish crop circles and Mayan symbology. But they were so obviously birds and so obviously fish. I don't care if humans are making some of them. In the year of 2009, those formations were extremely telling, and people were saying, what on earth is happening with the water? We were being shown octopus and squid and sea creatures that were ancient. The dragonfly, you know, the oldest insects. We were really having our attention drawn to nature. So to me, that was an extremely telling one that all people can look at, and you don't need to know a secret language or dissect any information. That is right there in your face. We were being told. And that's my opinion. But in history of crop circles, we've never seen so many birds in 1 year or so many fish in 1 year. And they didn't miss any of the first creatures, like the first ocean creature was shown and the first bug, insect. It was really fascinating year, 2009. And to me, that was really some very telling information. Most people that are dissecting the mathematics of the crop circles are all talking about the solar changes, and the a lot of the 2012 information is coming through the mathematics of the crop circles. But the ones you and I are going to talk about are the most interesting ones. In 2001 and 2002, 8 miles apart, a year apart, there were two formations that were double formations in an area of England called Chilbolton. And one of them was this incredible Arecibo message that had been sent from a communication tower in Puerto Rico by SETI. And they sent this message out into space that was a specific binary layout that gave whatever received it way out there. And they sent it to M13, and which is a group of star clusters so far away, and they didn't expect a response anytime soon. And this was 1974. And it specifically gave them information about our planet, the size of our people, the shape of our bodies, some of our chemical substances that we have here. It gave all kinds of information. And in, I'm not sure which 2001 or 2, but the one that came back was a duplicate, like a mirror, of the information we sent out in 1974 from the Arecibo Tower. It came into the crop circle with slight changes that were, their heads were larger, their bodies were smaller, they had a different population. At the bottom, we showed them what our telescope tower looked like. Theirs was different. So they sent back the same message with changes. And they added the element silicon. Mm-hmm. That was one of the very notable things. In a crop circle, in a field right near a line of telecommunication towers. Well, there's a number of messages, in my opinion, there, which is not only put it in a field, but put it in a field near a bunch of communication towers. And within a year of that one, in the same area, was the other one called the Alien Face and the Disc. And that's the one that you're showing a picture of. Mm-hmm. The eerie alien face that, to me, kind of looks like an alien gray. Everybody might see something different, but it's got a locked in its side a perfectly round circle filled with a binary code. And it turned out to be read by Paul Vigay, that it was an ASCII language code. Again, I'm not a scientist. I don't know all this. But what he did decipher the message to mean was something that he gave to our world that went across the planet. The news was huge, and then immediately it dissipated and disappeared and was debunked. But the message, when deciphered, went like this. Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe there is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit closing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, whoever put that message there, whether it's terrestrial or extraterrestrial, hard for me to think terrestrial persons could have done that crop circle. That crop formation is very, very intricate. Anyway, whoever it is says we oppose deception. That would put them clearly in opposition to most of the governments of this planet, wouldn't it?
To me, I think they're our friends. I really do. I think that, I mean, we know that there's all kinds of people and all kinds of ET races, but I think the ones that are communicating through the crop circles are here to help us. And when I look at the quality of the artwork of the real crop circles, they are so exquisite. And what's happening to those of us going into them are we are having life-changing experiences. I went to England to heal my hands. Mm-hmm. I didn't go there to make a movie, and I knew nothing about crop circles or UFOs. I was a spirit kid. I ran the Ouija board since I was 6 or 7, but I didn't know what I was stepping into. And all I knew was I was in full surrender. I walked into this crop circle by myself, laid down, closed my eyes, and the next thing I knew, when I opened my eyes, I saw things I had never seen.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We are going to be back in just a couple of minutes, so hang in there, folks. We have more with Patty Greer coming up right after this.
The Kevin Smith Show is not here to tell you either what or how to think. The Kevin Smith Show is here to provide you with access to thought-provoking information so that you can begin thinking for yourselves. You must, however, do the thinking.
Welcome back. My guest this evening here at the Kevin Smith Show is Patty Greer. Now, Patty, when we went away for break, you were telling us that the first time you stepped into the crop circle, something extraordinary happened to you, and you said you went to sleep, and when you woke up, you could see things you'd never seen. Elaborate on that for us just a little bit and explain to us what you mean by that.
It was very odd, and I didn't really go to sleep. I think I just went on a little journey. I closed my eyes, relaxed, melted into the wheat, and the next thing I knew, my eyes were open. I don't know how long it was. I was alone in the crop circles. Both years, once I discovered them, I went and spent 9 weeks every summer in the crop circles. So I laid in many, many, many of them. But the first one I laid in was what got me hooked. I had whatever the experience was, it just felt like I was rested. But when I opened my eyes, I could clearly see things moving in the sky that I had never seen before. And they're not orbs. What I think I'm seeing is that element between, solids, liquids, gas, plasma, air.
What is it?
So plasma is what I'm seeing, I think, because I can see them move, I can see their shapes, and I've taken many, many people outside and said, relax your eyes and watch with me, and most people can see them.
What do you think
it is?
It's
really interesting.
Do you think they are alive?
I don't know what it is, but I know that typically the sky is full of whatever it is. I can't feel them. They're not close to me, but when I relax my eyes, you know how when you look at those 3D cards mm-hmm. and you know it's flat, but all of a sudden it raises up and you see a pattern?
Yeah.
It's like that.
And you
it's
can like, still see it?
I can see them clearly. Actually, last winter, almost every time I went skiing, they were distracting. I was like shooing them. And I'm not crazy at all. This is something that I know I'm seeing. And I've taken so many people outside to see them that I know that it is something that is visible for people that are willing to see. And I think therein lies the difference with a lot of what's going on now with UFOs, with visitations, with me seeing whatever it is in the sky that I can show people, and usually they can see it. But then there's typically, out of five people, there's typically one that just says, I can't. Mm-hmm. And we're all looking, and everybody's going, oh, my God, I see it. So there's a level of willingness, I think, for all people. And when we're all looking at a picture of a crop circle, there's a level of willingness there where people all see it differently, depending on how much you spend your time being conscious, meditating, whatever. And if you raise your vibration and that's your life, you might see something different than people that drive in traffic and honk a lot and have to hurry to get to work mm-hmm. when they look at the same photo. But supposedly, and I do believe this, that on a subconscious level, the crop circles are giving us information that is affecting people. And what we're saying is that it's possible that crop circles could be the first ET communication that humans can physically see.
And okay, now let's
so many people
let's go back to the message just a moment, and then I'm going to tell you the thing I said that I would tell you and get your reaction to. Tell us the message that was decoded out of that crop circle once again, if you will.
Yes. Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe there is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit closing.
Okay, now that crop circle, that message gives us a recognition of something I think all of us can agree with, and that is there is both evil and good right here where we exist. And there's still time, a lot of pain, but still some time to get things worked out. Believe there is still good out there. Okay? Now, you had a life-changing experience being there, and you were there with your gloves on, and you were there with your gloves on because you were being poisoned by these mercury fillings in your teeth, and you didn't know that for sure at that point. And the doctors were doing tests and telling you, nah, that's not the problem. You have no problem. Go home.
And go back to sleep now.
Yeah, okay. Is it possible? And plus, and I want you to share with the audience what you've just been through as well in just a moment. But is it possible that what you opened your eyes and you could see literally with your eyes things you had never seen before, but is it just possible this also opened up your the eyes of your mind that you were able to continue searching for an answer for your physical ailment, and you were able to find the answer, and now you're recovering. And is it possible that this crop circle and its message also applies to what you've just been through, that the audience doesn't know about yet? But do you think it's possible that this crop circle was sort of, although a message to the world, it really was a message to you?
I think more than me, your first sentence, part of the sentence, it's a message to the world. I think we are all going through some surprising misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I do think that it was a message for me, and I think it's a message for everyone that's not being told the truth. Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises is what we're looking at here today. We are all dealing with things so far out of our control because it has spiraled mm-hmm. beyond recognition. But the ending of the message, I love, believe there is good out there. We oppose deception. When I allow myself to watch things like The Inside Job, or any of these movies that are really handing it to us on a platter, there is no excuse for anybody in this country to not know what's going on. No excuse. I mean, Netflix gives us a buffet of movies that lay it on the table. Every single thing you want to know the truth, there's a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not just making up and having actors. They're showing the faces of the CEOs that took down this country in 2007, 8, 9. They're showing the faces. And they're actually asking them on camera. My favorite movie lately of the disclosure is The Inside Job. They're showing the close-ups, and they're saying to the person, do you feel anything about the people whose lives you destroyed? I'll tell you, it's worth the price of admission to realize we are dealing with tree stumps. So the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises did, unfortunately, relate to one of my two stories, and I'm willing to go public. This is like my first month of my life being willing to even talk about what I've been through. This mercury poisoning was so devastating that, especially not knowing. I knew, but every doctor said, no.
Mm-hmm.
And what I know today is alarming. So the good news is I found a doctor, only 2 hours round trip, in the winter, over snow and ice, over the pass. I was white-knuckled, but she was divine. Christy Bloss, in Montrose, Dr. Christy Bloss, took the silver out of my face and introduced me to every aspect of healing that I needed, which was how to get really tested for the proper mercury poisoning. I was so misled. And the more I'm learning, I'm realizing that Alzheimer's patients, I will read the actual things that I have documented here because I'm not the expert. I'm going to read the facts because I'm reading them on a regular basis now, and stunned that this is still being allowed. It's not allowed in Europe. But interestingly enough, mercury poisoning, or should I say mercury fillings, are actually, they're called silver fillings. Or even more vague, they're called amalgam fillings, but they're not allowed to give them to children, women that are pregnant, children under 5, in many European countries. Now, my question is, why can you poison a child at 6 years old?
Uh-huh.
That doesn't make sense. But it's going on. In our country, we have no regulation at this point, and I'm sad to say that 2 weeks ago, I invited somebody over to, I found somebody on Craigslist to come clean my house. The last minute she called and said, one of us has to bring our 4-year-old, we can't get help. So I stuck her in front of the TV. The kid couldn't sit for a minute. This is a beautiful 4-year-old girl. Punchline is, the mother said, she's been really sick for 2 years. She can't sit still. She's, now they are diagnosing her with arthritis because the child is in pain all the time. I looked at the mother, I said, please tell me she does not have silver fillings in her mouth. And the mom said, she has 10. This is a 4-year-old. So I had to introduce the mom to Dr. Christy Bloss in Montrose. because the lady lived in Montrose, and Quicksilver Scientific to get the real test. This poor child, at 2 years old, got her first silver filling. It's illegal in most countries. Canada knows better. But anyway, I'm not going to point the finger. I'm just going to introduce us to the facts. So, would you like to hear just the brief history of mercury fillings?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Now, what I'm going to read from, if people think, by the way, if anybody has, and I'm not saying this is actual, but they're claiming that 30 or 40 diseases they have proven have been caused when they autopsy the body. They found a huge amount of mercury in the brain, lungs, hearts, of people with lots of filling. So if there's people listening in your audience that think that they have diseases or fibromyalgia, they're exhausted, their mind is weak, they're sick all the time, and they've been to as many doctors as me and they haven't gotten help, and they have silver in their mouth, mercury fillings,
yeah,
they might want to write down some of these wonderful connections. But first I'm going to tell you just briefly the history, because this has shocked me, and I didn't know any of this until 7 months ago when I finally had the silver removed. The good news is I'm detoxing, which is expensive, it's time-consuming, it is so exhausting. I spent 7 years trying to heal my hands. How fair is that for a harpist that played for the world?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not fair, of course.
Huh?
It's not fair, of course.
No. And I think even more interesting is that when it happened to me, this was really shocking. I'm trying to get a lawyer, and I can't get a lawyer because no doctors and no dentists want to write a letter and say, Patty Greer, I've looked at her blood tests. Now, in December, I was in the top 95% of worst cases they had seen. In April, 6 months later, I'm down 80 to 85% better. So that's really good news.
Mm-hmm.
I got the mercury out of my mouth, and I've been detoxing, but I'm not done yet. And that's why I'm willing to talk about it today. This is going to take me 6 to 18 months to get it out of my brain, my lungs, my organs, because mercury poisoning does amazing things. But I'm going to read it instead of say this out loud.
Okay.
Okay, so in 18...
You'll have to hold that until we come back from break. And we will be back from break right after this, folks, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Patty Greer. Patty, you were about to read to us something about mercury poisoning or mercury toxicity.
Yes. What I'm doing is I'm reading from the DAMS International Health Guide, and this is Dental Amalgam Mercury Solutions, one of the larger organizations that studies this and puts out documented findings. So there's DAMS, and there's also IAOMT, which is the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology.
Okay.
So these are the two places where people can go online, IAOMT or DAMS, and find all the information, all the right dentists, and all the everything you need to know. So for me, I had been told that I didn't have a problem, so for 7 years, the mercury has been building in my system. My hands were representing what was going on inside me, and again, I'm pointing fingers and saying they're so bad. I'm saying, thank God I got the cure, and all I want to do is tell people.
Okay.
Because you're not going to get it from the news, and you're not going to get it from any dental or medical. I don't think you're going to get it in the magazines, but you'll find the truth in scientific magazines and journals. So isn't that interesting, where the truth is willing to be told but not elsewhere? And the biggest fear for them is that it's almost like the UFO cover-up, the mercury poisoning cover-up. When the truth gets out, can you imagine how many class action lawsuits are waiting?
Well, I think there'll be a lot. I think there'll be a lot of people that take action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the main reason they're not coming clean.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead and read to us what it says so we'll know.
All right. So this is from the Dam's Health Guide. They say in 1819, that's when it began, 1819, a mercury-based dental amalgam filling was invented by the English chemist Bell. In 1826, the dental amalgam mercury was first used in England and France. In 1830, amalgam fillings were first used in the United States, and numerous harmful effects were soon widely reported. 1830. They knew then. In 1840, the American Society of Dental Surgeons denounced the use of amalgams due to concerns about mercury poisoning. Members of the society were required to pledge to avoid the mercury amalgam filling, but many dentists continued using amalgams since they were cheaper, faster, and easier to place in gold materials. 1859, determined to continue the pro-mercury amalgam faction in America, they formed their own dental society, first called the National Dental Association. It later became the American Dental Association. So these are the people that began backing amalgam. They're not serving the American public. They're serving the amalgam people. And there's money exchange there. I've read plenty of things. Again, I believe it is my opinion that that is true. I'm not sure. I've just read it.
Mm-hmm.
So the ADA was actually invented to be pro-amalgam. In 1926, a German chemist went public and said that amalgams, they released mercury vapor, and he published his findings in over 30 scientific papers. Not medical, scientific. He led an international movement to halt the use of mercury amalgam fillings. That's 1926. In 1930, his laboratory and most of his records were destroyed in a World War II bombing raid, derailing the anti-amalgam mercury movement that he had led. In 1957, Carl O. Freikholm of Sweden published a study wrongly claiming that when saliva covers an amalgam filling, the mercury is no longer released. And ever since then, the American Dental Association has cited Freikholm's paper as proof that amalgam fillings are safe and stable. And that's pretty much the only thing they've had to hold on to. So in 1979, there were papers that came out about the measurable mercury coming from amalgams from the University of Iowa. They reported that the vapor alone, when the amalgams were stimulated by chewing food, brushing teeth, hot beverages, or being drilled at the dentist's office, it released a substantially greater amount. And in 1981, the findings were confirmed. In 1987, they did another study that measured mercury levels in the brains of people who had died suddenly and unexpectedly. The mercury levels in the occipital lobe brain cortex correlated significantly with the number of amalgam fillings in the person's mouth. So the information has been really bombarded with scientific studies since 1930, but it's all being ignored. In 1990, the University of Calgary School of Medicine placed amalgam fillings with radioactive mercury into pregnant sheep and monkeys. After just 29 days, with the placement of amalgams, the mercury had spread into the kidneys, liver, gastrointestinal tract, the brain, and other parts of the bodies, including the unborn fetus. For both mother and the fetus, the highest mercury level was in the pituitary gland, explaining the depression and mood disorders that have been linked to amalgams. Shall I continue to recent?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. In 1983, the University of Calgary Research Dentistry, Murray Vimy, DMD, organized and founded the IAOMT, the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, to educate dentists and other professionals about evidence-based dentistry. One of the Academy's leaders, Michael Ziff, along with his father, authored many books on amalgam and the dental health connection. In 1988, DAMS Group, D-A-M-S, was formed in Albuquerque, Chicago, and elsewhere, and they began to educate the public. So these organizations are very active, and they are trying to let people know, but again, it's really quite stunning. Last December, when I was having my mercury out, all of these organizations met with the ADA, and I believe the FDA was there, that there were the organizations that make the decisions for our country. And I watched, thank God the documentarian was really conscious rather than just showing the people like me that are really dealing with terrible mercury poisoning, destroying years of our lives. A lot of these people may never get up again. But they dragged themselves, spent their own money to be there, to talk with these people at this meeting, which was the big meeting of the minds where they were going to make the decision. When the documentarians banned the staff of the people making these decisions, half of them were on the computer, a third of them were asleep, and two guys were listening with the faces I wouldn't want to be talking to. And it's all over YouTube, the meeting about amalgam poisoning with the American Dental Association in December 2010. Everybody should watch the video and see what it's like to talk to these people. It's really quite interesting. They're not listening, and they don't care. So, again, that's my opinion, but from what I saw, it sure looked like they weren't listening.
Mm-hmm.
So, in December 1990, this was interesting, the CBS television show, we're still in the history, 60 Minutes, hosted by Morley Schaefer, viewed by 30 million Americans, exposed the hazards of mercury amalgams. The host interviewed scientists Lars Freiberg, Fritz Lorscheider, Murray Vinney, and Boyd Haley. The program also exposed the bias attacks by state dental licensing boards on mercury-free holistic dentists. The ADA spokesman squirmed under cross-examination by the host. This sort of dental amalgam expose was never repeated again on any TV network. Can you imagine that?
Yes, I can, because the networks are owned lock, stock, and barrel by the... Now, I'm going to use a term, and a lot of people will chuckle, but they're owned by the cabal. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, let me explain. Well, we have a break taking over. I'll explain the cabal and what I meant by that when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Patty, if you'll call me on that other phone system. We'll be back, folks. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here, and my sincere sympathy for whatever it is that kept you away from us on the first hour. We're talking with Patty Greer, and I had made a statement just before we went to break that... I can believe that the news media doesn't cover this and won't do anything with it because they're owned lock, stock, and barrel by the cabal, and I was about to explain what I mean. When you start tracing who really owns what, you know, a news corporation may be owned by XYZ Corporation. And then you find out, okay, so who owns that? Well, it's owned by this other corporation. And, okay, so who owns that? And you get back, you find out that there's only a handful of people in the world that control the media all over the world. There's just a handful of them. And they're in business to make money. They're not in business to do investigative reporting. They're not in business to expose corruption. They are in business to make money. And guess who spends a lot of money with them? The chemical companies, the pharmaceutical companies, the doctors' associations, etc. And so, I can understand, and I can certainly believe that they're not reporting on this. Now, you spent 7 years of absolute agony trying to get an answer. How long from the time they took the mercury out and you started detoxing, what's the total amount of time that you expect it's going to take for you to be able to say, okay, I'm free of this?
I'm hoping within this month. I'm really close to done. But what I heard today from my dentist was, and the detox master, Chris Shade at Quicksilver Scientific, was that it will come out in spurts for 6 to 18 months. It could even come out for years. And I plan to continue detoxing to make sure that I get it all out of me. But when you realize how insidious it is, going through all of your blood, your organs, and your brain, I can't imagine what a job this detox is doing in me. But when I look at the list of symptoms and realize I blamed everything on something else, it was all mercury poisoning I was dealing with. And when I hear about the dentists that have told the truth and lost their licenses, that's pretty scary. But now I'm experiencing it because I need help. I need a lawyer to help me go after the dentist. This has been 7 years that nobody should have to deal with. And when I went to him, he was my second opinion. The reason I was having so much work done was I was dealing with my dentist of 18 years who has never put mercury in anybody, nor would he. And he said, we need to get the mercury out of you. You eat organic, you purify your water, you go to yoga twice a week, you walk everywhere. Let's get the mercury out of you. And it wasn't like I was sick at the time. I was just going for maximum health. He gave me a price that was huge. And I went for a second opinion. The second opinion told me the same teeth, and his price was a whole lot cheaper, and his nitrous was free. Can you imagine that? So I took the cheaper offer because it was for the same thing, six teeth, composite fillings, and one gold crown. I got in his chair, really nice guy. He puts the free nitrous on my nose. At the top of his records, which I have a copy of, it says, patient requests composites, which are the white fillings. And once he got me high on nitrous, he filled my mouth with mercury fillings. So, number one, the doctor did something extremely inappropriate. It wasn't what I had asked for. I was there to get mercury out of me. I don't know what is in this guy's mind, but anyway, it happened. It's in the past. And over the course of the years, the stunning thing was that every medical practitioner that I went to gave me the wrong test. How does this happen? So I'm going to talk about the right and wrong test. There's a test for fish and environmental and sushi poisoning. That's called a mercury test. It's a blood test. There's only one test for amalgam mercury fillings, and that is called inorganic mercury. It's a separate blood screening. So if somebody's testing me for my fillings, they're going to need to give me the inorganic mercury test, which is not covered by insurance. But for free, I can go anywhere I want and get the wrong test, and insurance will cover it. Now, isn't that special?
Yeah.
So, finishing the history, because we were halfway through. We were three-fourths of the way through, because I want to make this quicker. We were in 1993 when they admitted that, this is a really heavy one, a microbiologist in 1993 reported that the placement of mercury amalgam fillings in monkeys and in humans caused a major shift in the kinds of bacteria found in the intestines. Through natural selection, some bacteria survived the mercury poison and are mercury resistant. Interestingly, the mercury resistant were found to have become antibiotic resistant.
Summers concludes that amalgams tend to produce more antibiotic-resistant bacteria. In 1993, December, the largest German manufacturer, German, of amalgam, Degussa AG, stopped making amalgam. So Germany came clean. In 1994, a year later, Sweden announced the beginning of its phase-out of amalgam fillings, starting with pregnant women and children. What about the rest of us? Okay, 1994, an organization reported that elemental mercury vapor from amalgam fillings is toxic to brain neurons. Low-dose mercury causes the neurofibrillary tangles in the brain, regarded as a key maker of Alzheimer's disease. So in 1994, they declared that a lot of people with Alzheimer's had large amounts of mercury fillings in their mouths. So it goes on and on. They're reporting all kinds of direct correlation. Canada made it legal, again, for children and pregnant women. My question is, come on, if you're admitting that it hurts people, why is a six-year-old okay and not a five-year-old?
That's a good point.
It doesn't really make sense. So here's an interesting thing, which is really like a secret I should be whispering, not to millions of people, but this is the biggest buzzkill of all. Here I am detoxing. I am in the most wonderful relationship of my life. I live in this fabulous place with this great guy, and we love to kiss. We're like teenagers. Okay, so now I learn this horrible thing, that now that I'm detoxing and my fillings are out, that my partner with mercury in his mouth is keeping me possibly reinfected. And this is what DAMS has to say about that. The mercury vapor that people with amalgams give off when they exhale may start to bother you or make you crash. So crowds and social events, especially where people with amalgams are drinking or chewing food, may need to be avoided. In the same vein, your spouse may also be more noticeably adversely affecting you if he, she has amalgams and you are detoxifying. If you eat with your spouse and sleep with your spouse, that is a lot of time for exposure to mercury vapor exhaled from your spouse's mouth. Women can also receive a mercury exposure from their husband's semen. The ideal situation is for both to get their amalgams out. So, that's pretty serious. It was explained to me that it's like a cigarette smoker. You know, when they're not smoking the cigarette, you can still smell it on their breath. If anybody wants to see visibly proof of what we're talking about, there is a great YouTube video called The Smoking Tooth. The Smoking Tooth on YouTube. And what it says is it shows you the smoke, the vapor that literally comes off mercury 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in the mouth of a human, because the saliva in our mouth wakes it up. I have their actual statement here, which is, the science is clear that dental amalgam is a mixture of approximately 50% liquid mercury with various metals, including copper, silver, tin, to form an unstable alloy that results in high levels of toxic metal exposure, including mercury over time. Since mercury is a gas at room temperature, the mercury vaporizes continuously from the amalgam, resulting in high levels of mercury in the oral air and saliva, as is easily measured. And you can see it in this video. Additionally, since amalgam is a mixture of metals in an electrolyte, saliva, this produces galvanic currents, like a battery effect, that pumps mercury and other toxic metals into the gums and oral mucosa, from which it is taken by the blood and nerves throughout the body. Approximately 80% of the mercury in the oral air is absorbed by the blood in the lungs and is distributed throughout the body along with the other mercury released by amalgams, rapidly passing out the blood, crossing cell membranes, and accumulating in the major organs that receive large amounts of blood, the brain, heart, liver, kidney, and hormone glands. Over time, this, along with exposure to other synergistic toxins, commonly results in chronic degenerative health conditions affecting all major organs, as has been well documented in the medical literature. So I'm going to stop reading about this. It is plenty of it. If anybody wants to know more, it is all available to the public on these websites, IAOMT and DAMS. It's more than you'll want to read. Punchline is, nobody deserves to be sick. Nobody deserves to have poisons put into their body that really should have been made illegal many, many years ago. It's all well documented, but like you said, there's too much money behind it. So I'm not going to point fingers, certainly, at the cabal. I'm really glad you're the one talking about that, because I won't. But in my opinion is that you're most likely right, because there's no excuse for this to be legal. Absolutely no excuse.
Well, what I find very interesting about this, and where the connection is with the crop circle, just in case anyone in the audience is saying, so what's the connection? The connection is that message that talks about, we oppose deception, and beware of,
beware the bearers of false gifts broken promises.
Yeah, and broken promises. You know, the tobacco industry spent millions and, I guess, billions of dollars over the years to keep putting out information that smoking was not harmful to you. Well, it is, and they knew it, and they spent millions and millions and millions of dollars to continue to put out the word that it's not harmful to you. It sounds like the same sort of thing is happening with the amalgam industry, and dentists who use it are certainly part of that industry.
Yes.
And it sounds like the same sort of thing. Well, this is deception.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
But the way that we can get past it, and I hope I'm okay to say this on the air, but this is what I'm telling my friends and my children. If you have any doubt in your mind that you're dealing with mercury poisoning, for Christ's sake, get the right test. Get the right test. And I will even go as far as give you the phone number of Quicksilver Scientific, because I've called them enough times. Area code 303-531-0860. I only know it because I've dialed it enough times. I'm dealing with my detox there as well. But they take the time, and they really do hair, fingernails, blood, urine for the proper thing that we're dealing with here. And what I also am encouraging people to do is do not have the wrong dentist take the mercury out. There is a huge difference between conscious dentistry today and the other. And I am going to say to most people out there listening, if you are willing, call your dentist tomorrow and ask if they offer on their menu mercury fillings. If they are still running that barbaric practice through their office, in my opinion, I would recommend that you think twice and realize that you're dealing with a dentist that's using older technology and maybe not up to snuff with what's going on today. I highly recommend people be dealing with conscious dentists, people that are dealing with what's healthy for the public and not what's quick and cheap for them. What happened to me shouldn't happen to anybody, and I hope I get on the other side of it where it really all comes out of me like a big vacuum vortex and leaves me. But I can smell it when it leaves my body.
All right, now let me ask you about some of the other symptoms, because in your case, it really affected your hands, in your case.
Yes.
So, you know, it's affected your hands, and you're not able to play the harp anymore as a result of this. But it doesn't affect everyone that way. There are other symptoms that it can manifest.
Mine is extremely rare.
Okay.
My case is completely odd.
What are some of the other symptoms?
You have skin symptoms.
Okay, skin symptoms. What about ADD?
ADD, ADHD. All of these things, if you open the child's mouth and there's silver in there, I'd say bingo. That would be my first guess. Now, I'm going to repeat something that I was told. I don't know if it's true, but it was somebody extremely reputable. When I called this person and said, I told them the story about the four-year-old little girl, that they did that to her at 2 years old in Montrose, Colorado. There's a dentist office that is capping children's teeth. When I said to the mother, 10 fillings, she's 4 years old. No wonder she's dealing with mercury poisoning. You've got to take care of this. I called this person, and I said to him, a four-year-old, isn't it illegal? And he said, not in America, but I got bad news for you. He said, was she on Medicaid or Medicare? And I said, well, I don't know. They were cleaning my house. Chances are maybe. He said, well, a lot of those people, they have approved something new, which is nickel silver fillings for them. Now, if people want to read about that, that's really shocking. And I was almost in tears. That hurt me for a day to think that it's even worse than mercury, what the government is giving to poor people to put in their mouths is nickel silver fillings. And when the mom said to me, oh, she's got 10 caps in her mouth, all the kids are doing it.
Well, is the nickel compound, is it more dangerous than the mercury?
You know, I think it's kind of comparing poison to poison.
Mm-hmm.
They're all poison. None of them are good, but this is even cheaper to make. So none of them are good. They're all poison.
All right. Patty, I want to invite our audience to join us. Now, folks, I don't know if you've got any questions or comments, but I want to give you the opportunity, if you do have questions or comments, the telephone number is on the screen for those who are watching. For those who are listening, here it is. This is the Galactic Phone Line. You can call me from anywhere in the Milky Way galaxy at 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And I invite you to call me, and we will let you talk with Patty. Here's someone that's really very much from within our genre who has been putting up with and going through all of this. Maybe you have similar symptoms. So if you have a question or comment, give us a call. And we do have a caller on hold, so let's go to the telephone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hello, Debbie.
Very interesting topic. Good evening, Betty.
Good evening.
It's Patty.
I've had amalgam fillings all my life. I mean, my teeth have been really bad since a child. And what I wanted to know was, I have symptoms, but you know, not terribly bad. I'm a holistic practitioner myself, and I have spoken with my dentist's office and explained the situation about amalgam fillings, because I have been aware that they've been, you know, not very good for folks health-wise. And he said them out, but it would cost a lot of money. I don't make a whole lot of money, and I don't have insurance. Are there some holistic dentists who will do it for, like, almost like a pro bono type issue?
I would sincerely doubt it. I paid a fortune, I'm sorry to say. I mean, she was as fair as anybody would be. It is expensive. It's dentistry. So, again, I would recommend the DAMS organization and the IAOMT. You reminded me, though, let's talk about symptoms, because symptoms are what I think people need to know about so that you can recognize it for yourself. So that's my answer to you, is to check with those organizations. That's where you'll get more information than anywhere else. The symptoms they list on both these sites that I mentioned. For me, what I went through that was most shocking was that I would be waking up in the middle of the night totally wet, and I'm not in menopause. And it was like menopausal symptoms, but it was really wet. And it was a strange thing where I just go into huge fever in the middle of the night. It would wake me up, and then I would stare at the ceiling for hours. Now, I could win a prize for sleep. I am a great sleeper until the mercury poisoning hit, and it was years of being awakened between 2 and 4 a.m., it was like clockwork. And whenever I'd have to go to the bathroom, no matter what, I would go into a total sweat. Until recently, which now I'm healing, thank God, my body temperature gauge was completely off. And it's not, I mean, it seemed like menopausal symptoms, but men were getting it. So I don't think it's, it could be manopause, I don't know, but it's mercury poisoning symptoms. One of the things most noticeable is it affects the brain. And people get very indecisive and can't make decisions and get emotional and strangely emotional. There are so many symptoms, and again, I really encourage people to do the research. If you have a mouthful of silver and you don't feel good, that's enough right there to go and get the right test from Quiksilver Scientific, I'm repeating again, because it is hard to find the right test in this country. Now, right, I called them today and I said, are you the only ones that do this? And they told me that there are others, but theirs is really focused on particularly looking into this science. And all of the things I've read about consciousness of dentistry, they highly recommend this company. The fact that they took fingernails and hair and urine, I mean, all parts of my body, was extremely conscious. And I got the answer I needed, which was not my favorite answer, but it certainly gave me the answer to what I've been looking for 7 years.
Okay, Debbie, thank you for the call, good points and good question. The telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you are outside of the USA and you are outside of Canada, I understand that you would have to make an international long-distance call, and that can be very expensive from some parts of the world. So for you, if you want to call us, please do. But we also have for you something called the Flash Message. So the way you can send me a Flash Message is you go to my website, scroll down until you see the picture about tonight's show, and right above that picture on the right side, you'll see the link that says Flash Message. If you're in Canada or the USA, please use the telephone line and transport yourself here to the studio. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Gary in Nebraska.
Hello, Gary.
Gary, I was just wondering if the guest would know the answer to this. She's been quite clear about the effects of the amalgams in all of us that have that stuff.
Gary, you're going to have to hang on till we get back from break. It's taking over. So we will be back, folks, right after this. Don't go away.
Connecticut, and you're listening to the Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Patty Greer is my guest this evening. And on the line with us from Nebraska is Gary. So, Gary, you had just got started whenever we went to break. So just start again.
All right. The guest has been very clear about the effects of the amalgams in children and adults. I just wonder, does she have any research to address the people that actually handle that stuff? And some we know have done it for decades.
Good point.
All I know is what I read. And I really didn't mean to spend this whole show or this large chunk talking about amalgam poisoning, because I am not an expert.
I am an experiencer. I am, unfortunately, somebody who was a victim of it, but I'm not an expert. I have read so many reports about the doctors and the technicians. And again, the two sites that I suggest everybody go to are where I learned everything. So please, don't misunderstand. I am a crop circle, I don't want to say expert, experiencer. And that's really where my expertise lies. It's what gets me onto the radio shows. What happened to me with the amalgam poisoning took me to the crop circles. And in the long run, I know that I'm always going to look back and say, wow, if it weren't for mercury poisoning, I might not have made movies. You know, it was life-changing. The mercury poisoning, for me, took me out of my entire life. It stopped my career cold, because it's not just I couldn't play harp. I can't open a doorknob when I have cuts all over my hands. It gets on my palms. It has crawled up my fingers. And can I put a finger on it and prove that it's mercury poisoning? Well, my blood tests were so extremely high, and nothing else proved true. As I had it removed, the mercury in my system came down 80 to 85%. So, in my opinion, I don't have any doubt that that's what happened to me. And so I just recommend people do the research and don't sit around and have the wrong test given to you anymore.
All right, let's go back to the telephone. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Okay, Brent.
I hesitated calling tonight because my dad is a dentist.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty sure I do have some amalgam in my mouth.
Uh-huh.
However, I do have a question about the quality of the work.
Okay.
Because there are people out there that my father put fillings in 50 years ago, and they still have those fillings. But you go to some dentists, those fillings fall out in 7 years.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if the quality of the work matters.
Well, of course. I'll tell you another thing that matters. I had a second test that was called the Melissa test, M-E-L-I-S-A, which tested my blood. It was additional tubes that I gave up to tell me if I was allergic to mercury and if I had hypersensitivity to mercury. Unfortunately, both are true. So some people with a mouthful of mercury will never even notice that their body is half as healthy as it could be, or 90% as healthy as it could be, or 100%. Maybe people are not affected at all. Again, I'm not an expert, but I do know that the difference with me and other people is that I'm allergic and I'm hypersensitive.
Okay, if I could
close the discussion about mercury poisoning, because again, I'm not an expert, but I'm giving you guys the sites to go to. I'd like to actually go back into something
Hang on. He's still got another question.
The outcome of the fact that I lost the use of my hands for a few years until I realized I could do something else.
Okay, now hang on. He still has another question before we move ahead.
Ask to comment.
Okay.
Patty, I will add one thing to your regime here. If you're going to go to a dentist, check the quality of their work. Get some references. Find out how long their fillings last. Because if you're going to have a mercury filling because they don't have anything else, make sure it's going to last.
Okay. All right. Brent, thank you for the call. All right. Now, Patty, you said you wanted to move on to some more information. What would that be?
Well, again, I think that the punchline of what happened to my hands, when one door closed, another door opened. I went over to England to heal my hands, which didn't heal there because I didn't get my fillings out. But what I did do was have a life-changing experience in a crop circle. And I really want to focus again on the value of the messages that I believe are coming through the crop circles. They have been coming around for hundreds of years. When I'm in England every summer, and I just got back, I was there last month in the crop circles. When I'm in England, the elders, the old people say, oh, yes, the fairy rings, yes, my grandmom. I mean, they talk about it, as if it's common knowledge. And in England, in this area of 40 square miles, loaded with sacred sites surrounding the largest stone circle in all of Europe called the Avebury Stone Circle, there are more crop circles delivered here than anywhere else on the planet, most likely because of the sacred sites and the people that have honored them for thousands of years. The area has a very high vibration. I think the messages of the crop circles are incredibly important. And when I went there and became an accidental filmmaker, within 2 years of laying in a crop circle, with no training, previous experience, or interest in filmmaking at all, I made 4 movies, Kevin. And I'm not that smart, but these movies poured through me. And every time I had a question, it was intuitively answered. I know where it comes from now, but at the time I just kept saying to my editor, I don't know, just do it. But I made these 4 movies that I believe were very much orchestrated by the ETs that are making the crop circles. Everywhere I went, once I owned a camera, the right people walked up to me and had all the time in the world. And the movies have won 6 really great awards. For the last 2 years, I won Best Feature Film UFO or Related at the International UFO Conference. Now, how does that happen? I'm not that smart. I'm telling you, something happened in the crop circles, and the movies are very, very real.
All right, so let me...
Hear me, I'm a goofy girl. I like to make light of things. But the harp music that I wrote for all those years and the lyrics happened to be perfect for the soundtracks of these movies. How did I know? How did that happen?
All right, let me ask you about that. Does it come to you sort of telepathically, or how does it come to you?
It's pretty much intuitive telepathy. Mm-hmm. For instance, I think the most amazing thing I discovered that's in my 1st and 4th movie, and they are on my website, which is pattygreer.com, PattyGreer.com. I have movie trailers and multiple libraries of crop circle images, and it is food for the heart. It's food for the entire system to look at images of crop circles. I offer pay-per-view on my website so people can watch the whole movie while you're just sitting at your computer for $3.99. I sell DVDs all over the world. But these movies were not something I planned. I have no scripts, no hairdos, no makeup, no BS. The movies just happened. And the fact that they've taken these amazing prestigious awards says to me that they came for a reason. I believe that the people making the crop circles don't even realize that they're just like me, that the circle makers, these extraterrestrials or whatever they are, that are showing up in these balls of light in the fields, are actually choosing us. I think they just said, she's perfect, her hands are down, let's use her.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I worked 15 hours a day with my little Band-Aids on and made those movies in 2 years. And
okay, so
we're talking about the intuitive thing. My very first movie, I come back from England and I had permission to use the most incredible footage anybody's ever seen, with the Oliver's Castle crop circle footage. Have you seen the one, Kevin, where the balls of light go over the field and it lays down?
Yes. Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay, so millions of people have seen it, where the crop circle lays down right before your eyes. And the story is that this guy, John Whaley, was one of the only people who woke up when he heard the sizzle in the wheat, which we all hear when the balls of light are close, and most people are completely paralyzed. They can't move. But this guy hit play, and he got the footage on his camera. So across the world, this has been seen for years and years. Here I am. I don't know anything. I'm the new accidental filmmaker. I bring the footage home. I've got permission to use it. And I said to my editor, reverse the footage. He said, why? I said, I don't know, just reverse it. So he reversed the footage. I said, slow it down. He said, how slow? I said, I don't know, 30%. 30%? Why would you say that? I don't know, just do it. What I discovered on the famous footage by this guy that everybody has seen, I reversed it and slowed it down, stopped the footage, there is a line of communication that goes right between those two balls of light that the human eye can see. It is a stream of communication that looks like it's black, white, black, white, black, white, but it is a line, like a line of light that goes directly between those two balls of light right before the crop circle lays down. And I opened my newest movie, Crop Circles 2010 Update, The Wake-Up Call, with that discovery. And I show it three times because, firstly, I show the Oliver's Castle footage three times because people are like, oh, yeah, right. And then the second time you're looking at it, you think, oh, my God. And by the third time, you're sitting on the edge of your chair staring until you just want to see it again and again because it's so amazing. And then I reverse the footage, and I show them the communication that happened right before the field goes down. And I showed that three times, too, because the brain really is pretty stubborn. And we've been told for so many years that Doug and Dave, these two old guys, made all the crop circles. But, you know, nobody explained how on the same night there was a new crop circle in Italy, one in France, one in Indonesia, two in Spain. I mean, come on. So,
well, they
think that the more we open up, the more we see.
Obviously, Doug and Dave are racking up the frequent flyer miles.
Yeah, right. Except they've been dead for 2 years.
Yeah, and look, the crop circles that Doug and Dave did look like Doug and Dave did them.
Yeah.
And, you know, these others are very intricate, very elaborate. And I'm not saying that they could not be hoaxed, and I don't think you're saying that. But there are some tremendous, tremendous hurdles that would have to be overcome in order to hoax these really intricate crop circles. Now, as an example, the one that we talked about earlier,
right,
with the alien face and then the circle of the binary code, you know something, that binary code and inside of that very perfect double-ringed circle, and keeping the rings of the binary code in proportion where they're supposed to be, that's something that would require precision in order for somebody to do that, and it would be a level of precision that you couldn't do that in one night. I just don't think you could, if you could do it at all. And then you've got this face. That face, that alien face, is also very intricate. I don't think that's human work. We have to step away for break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are on final approach. That means we only have just a few minutes left in the show, and my guest this evening is Patty Greer. Patty, let me ask you about these. You know, I was talking about how intricate some of these crop circles are, and I'm not going to say that humans could not do this, but I think it's pretty unlikely. And then there's the fact that it happens in a lot of different places in the same night sometimes, and it happens in a matter of a few minutes. Now, something like this Chill Bolton crop circle was not done in a few minutes if it was done by humans. That looks like something that would take a couple of days to do.
You would think.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, in England, in the summer, there's only a few hours of darkness. So that really adds to the mystique of the amount of time it would take to create something like that. But in my opinion, what happened to me in the crop circle threw a lot of information at me very, very quickly that manifested into movies. I think that the human circle makers are pretty much being kicked out like I was. Here's some great artists. Let's use them. I don't think they even know what they're doing. I think they're out there doing the work, and they think they're fooling all of us, but I think they're just kind of being divinely orchestrated, too. The funny story I have was one night I was at the Black Horse, which is a pub in that area, and a group of guys came in really loud, and they needed to drink quickly. And they were at the table behind me pouring the beer down, and what it turned out to be was a group of circle makers that were out in the field. They were making a crop circle that very night, and a ball of light whizzed past them, and one guy wet his pants, and they all ran out of the field, screaming like girls. And they landed at the bar and sat right behind me, and I heard the whole story. These guys that are the circle makers got whizzed by a ball of light in the field. In my opinion, the real crop circles are being made by whatever these balls of light are that are coming in and being seen by some of us. Many of us, me included, have seen these balls of light at a distance. Many of the people I interviewed in my first movie, The Wake Up Call Anybody Listening, have seen them up close and had personal experiences.
How big are these balls of light?
These balls of light, I would guess to be little satellites off the mothership.
Yeah, how big are they?
I don't know. I've only seen them at a far distance. The people that have seen them hold their arms out, but I've never heard how many feet, because it's a hard thing to fathom. I think the most interesting story I have is in 2001, when I was writing the music that ended up being the soundtracks for these movies. I didn't know at the time that's what I was doing. I'd been writing music since I was 16, played music all my life. But I was dating a guy that owned the recording studio, and I wake up in the morning, and he's staring at the ceiling, completely paralyzed, and I said, oh, didn't sleep? And he looked at me and glared. He said, do you remember what you said in your sleep last night? And I said, no, dear, I was sleeping. You said it's not what you see, it's what you don't see. And I said, excuse me? I like that. And he said, oh, no, no, that's not all. Then you said, it's not who you know, it's who you really are. You woke me up. And I said, wow, I'm sorry, but that's great lyrics for a song. He grabbed my hand, and he had a really scary look on his face. He said, oh, that's not all. After you woke me up, and I lived in the mountains in this house where I hand-fed all kinds of deer and fox and way too many furry beasts. I hand-fed them, so I had a very magical house. My boyfriend said, while I slept, not only did I wake him up with those words, but then these balls of light, he said it was looked like headlights off a car, went across my hillside, but there's no driveway, turned toward the house, and he said, I know what I saw. I'm not making this up. Now I just woke up. He said, one of the balls came through the wall and slowly circled the bedroom above our bed. And I shook you to wake you up because I couldn't believe what I was seeing, and you wouldn't wake up. He said the second ball of light came through the wall, and when it came in, it turned lime green like a glow stick. Now, I'm thinking this guy's completely whacked out because I didn't see it. He said, I shook the bed so hard yelling your name that the headboard was hitting the wall, and you wouldn't wake up. Needless to say, after we had breakfast, the guy never dated me again or called me. I haven't seen him since. But here I am years later, and all of that music happens to be the soundtracks in my film. My recent movie, the 2010 update Crop Circle movie, won Best Feature Film, which was really a delight because it's my music that I can't play anymore. But anyway, I'm chums with all of the people that are the facilitators for people that have had abduction experience. Barbara Lamb is a crop circle researcher, and so for two summers we shared a B&B room. I told her the story. She said, oh, Patty, he's had the experience before, clearly, because hardly anybody can move when a ball of light is in their presence. Typically, they are paralyzed. In this case, if he said he was shaking the bed, that's really unusual. He must have had this experience before. Well, a couple years later, which was 2010, I meet Mary Rodwell from Australia, and she does the same thing as Barbara Lamb, and I told her the story. And this was 2010. I showed my movie Crop 2012. We're already in it at the Glastonbury Symposium. Mm-hmm. So she and I started talking after the movie showed. She really enjoyed it. And she said, let's do a regression. So we did a three-hour regression, first time in my life, looking at the experience in 2001 when the balls of light came in my bedroom and I didn't get to see it. And so I thought all these years that it was my boyfriend's experience, why did he get it? And I'm the one that does all the interest in magical workings. And so Mary Rodwell, after this three-hour regression with me, said, he was there to remind you of what happened. The reason he couldn't wake you up was because you were taken. You were gone. So I believe that in 2001, I was given all the information, and in 2007, 8, 9, it all came to fruition in these movies. Now these balls of light, whoever they were, came into my bedroom, and I didn't get to see them. But it turns out, if it's true, the regression that I had, and I remember the regression, I remember every minute of this very strange journey, places I've never seen. I do believe that I probably did have an experience because the movies came too easily and they make sense. So again, I want to tell people, the movies are really beautiful about the crop circles, UFOs, the positive aspects of 2012 told through conscious people. My website again is pattygreer.com, PattyGreer. And we didn't get to the one last subject, which I think needs its own show. And I kind of avoided it like the plague because it needs its own show.
Okay. We can have you back to talk about that. I know what you're referring to, and we can have you back to talk about that. I want to thank you for being with us this evening. And by the way, folks, if you go to my website and you see the picture about tonight's show. Now, if you click on that picture, just click on Patty's picture there, it's going to take you to her website, all right? But it's pattygreer.com. Or you can click the picture and it will take you there. Patty, I want to thank you for being with us this evening, and I want to ask if you will just stay on the line with me here for just a moment as I bring this flight of the KSS Starship in for a landing. Ladies and gentlemen, we have heard tonight some real-life application for some of the messages from crop circles. It's not all about cosmic stuff. It's not all just having to do with 2012. It's not all just having to do with the big grand scheme of things. Some of it has to do with you in your tennis shoes today. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.